Would you pray with me?
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, last week,
the sermon was entitled Life Between, if you'll recall.
And we talked about how life is exposed in those 150 Psalms, 148 of which occur between Psalm 1 and Psalm 150. And we explored that terrain and talked about the breadth of the Psalms and what all they cover. Today, this sermon is called Life Before. And it's to talk about how it is that we live out a life before God. That's a biblical term. Live your life before God. So I want to explore this morning, what does it mean for us to live a life before God? What does that look like? What does that call us to? What does that bless us with? And again, I want to turn to the Psalms because I believe they give us that information. The Psalmists tell us that we look to the Lord for provision and protection. Come, my heart, they say, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. And they tell us that God looks back, that he looks upon us. They say the Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. So there's the beginnings of a life before God. We look to him and he looks at us. But he doesn't just look at us, he reaches down and he cares for us. This is an understanding that goes back 3,000 years when these Psalms were written to people who surprisingly are very much like us. There are some things about the human experience that simply do not change, and that's why the Psalms retain relevance. That's why we would sing a song like the God of Abraham Praise, because that's an ancient Hebrew melody. If it sounded strange to you, it's because it is. It's from a distant place, a distant time. It's a distant music, but it's a wonderful song. The God of Abraham Praise. Remember, they're calling on one of our patriarchs. So I wanted us to reach back in time for that song as we reach back now to the Psalms. This is going to be a different kind of sermon because, you see, I'm not really going to preach it. We're going to let the psalmists preach it this morning. I'm going to share quite a bit of their material with you. I'll read it, but it's their sermon. I'll share it, but it's their perception of God and life. You heard Eileen just read from Ephesians. Be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. Give thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks. Give thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul recognizes something really big here. He recognizes that our life will not always be a smooth ride. He recognizes that not every day will be joyful. But he calls us, when faced with that reality, to sing and praise and pray, recognizing that God is in his heavens, and all will be well with the world, as the saying goes. And that's an understanding that comes from the Psalms. But how do we do this when things seem so out of control? Unpredictable killers lurk in public venues. We see it every day. Nations seek to predicate peace on the proliferation of murderous technology. The awful isms are out there: racism, culturalism, sexism, regionalism, religionism. And they undermine our foundational aspirations for equality. At the same time, indifference. I was tempted to say violence destroys community, but that's not really it. What it is that really destroys community is indifference. Indifference destroys community. The promise of God's shalom in the face of all this seems as real as Alice's tea party, as distant as the Xanadu of Kublai Khan, almost beyond imagining. It feels a lot like W.B. Yeats' great poem from 1921 as he looked back and reflected on what had gone on in the world during World War I, and he said this, and it seems like it has more relevance now than it did then. Turning and turning in a widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer, the center cannot hold, things fall apart. Prescient, isn't it? We ask ourselves, where is God? And if we're honest, all too often, silence echoes back, and we remain there, stuck. And the fear was no different, you see, for Israel 3,000 years ago. You have seen, O Lord, do not be silent, they call. O Lord, do not be far from me. Is that a prayer you can use? It's a prayer I have used. I commend it to you because our Bible commends it to me. Still, Israel believed in God, and so they sang. And so they prayed, just as we do. Here they tell us, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. It's a foundational recognition of the one in whom we believe. And as they did that, Israel recalled their history with that God. They remembered their past and how he had been. And they prayed this, O God, why do you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you acquired long ago, which you redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage. Remember Mount Zion, where you came to dwell. Remember, remember, remember. They found strength, they found faith, they found encouragement in remembering how God had been, in remembering how God had blessed them. And these memories, they gave them confidence. And this, I would add, is why we still do this today, why we still turn to these song prayers. Because in the experience of these ancients, we gain confidence. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say, evermore great is the Lord who delights in the shalom, the welfare, the overall well-being, the shalom of his servant. Then, says the psalmist, anticipating Paul, my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. There's recognition here. Recognition here that all of our understandings, all of our perceptions of how things really are must be subject to one core fact. And it's this. The Lord reigns. We talked about that last week, and we'll talk about it again, and we'll continue to talk about it because that's the core truth of this book of the Bible. The Lord reigns. The psalmists testify that as we grow in this understanding, we also learn to trust that out beyond the perimeter of sight, God still reigns supreme and has not abandoned us, no matter how things appear. Therefore, we pray and we proclaim into that darkness, the Lord reigns, let the earth be glad, let the distant shores rejoice. The Lord reigns, the world is firmly established, it cannot be moved. The Lord reigns, he is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. The Lord reigns, he will judge the world in righteousness, he will govern the peoples with justice. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. That may be all we can know, and it may be all we need to know. The psalmists tell us that we can have assurance that this God who reigns, he rules with power over all the lesser gods, over the world and all of its constituent elements, over all the nations and all the peoples, and especially over the lives of those who claim him as Lord. That's the promise. That's the promise of these prayers. Interestingly, not all psalms are in the book of Psalms. You can find some in the books of Samuel. You can find some in 1 and 2 Kings. And you can most certainly find some from the prophet Isaiah. He promises that our faith will be rewarded. You've heard this one before, but hear it again, because it brings the power. It brings the hope. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. Taken as a whole, the psalmists give us a comprehensive view of life lived before God. They expose certain key truths about the one whom we worship. First, that we can absolutely celebrate the creative power of Yahweh, our God. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his adversaries on every side. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples behold his glory. All worshipers of images are put to shame. Those who make their boasts in worthless idols, all gods bow down before them. Zion hears and is glad, and the towns of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O God. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all the gods. Moreover, the psalmist clearly, cleanly, loudly declare the love and the justice of God now and throughout all eternity. The Lord is sanctuary for those who love him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. This protection, this life in the house of the Lord, engenders trust and hope. The psalmist says, I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's here. That's now. In our lifetimes. And from this experience, they encourage us, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Is this something you need to hear today? Do you need to wait for the Lord? Does it seem you've been waiting too long? That he's not coming? That the answer you seek is not there? Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord, the ancient voice calls to us. Because the Lord is the source of our security in an uncertain and broken world. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel, counsel in the night. Also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is what it's like to live a life before God. In your right hand, O God, are pleasures forevermore. In your presence is security. And finally, the psalmists tell us who and whose we are and how we must be in living this life. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is with me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore. I want to suggest to you, I want to commend to you, I want to encourage you. In an age where our knowledge grows exponentially, while wisdom seems shrunken to memes and sound bites, these 3,000-year-old voices speak peace into our shattered souls. The experiences of these people and the promises of their song prayers are like cool water to our overheated spirits. They speak well-being. They spread shalom into our hungry hearts. They tell us what it's like to live this life before God. That it's okay not to be okay, because God is at work. He is with us, and in the end, all will be well, because all is his. They are at pains not to deny the reality of trouble. Oh, no. But they go to great length to hold the promise that good will out and that justice and love will prevail, because the Lord reigns. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. This, my friends, right here, this is the critical knowledge that frees us to sing and make melody to the Lord in our hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything. His peace and his presence is with us. Let us rejoice. And let us say, thanks be to God. Amen.